Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome to the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I'm Kim Monson.
And I'm Molly Vogt.
And thank you for joining us. We hope you're having a terrific Tuesday. We are the AmeriChicks. Check out our website. It has all kinds of great information there. It has all the past broadcasts there. They're all archived in SoundCloud. So if you miss a show, you can always go back and listen to it. And like I say, all kinds of great information. We have a rolling ad of all of our growing our brand partners and highly recommend them. So if you ever need, you know, somebody, go check that out because they can certainly help you out there. We really love our entrepreneurial growing our brand partners, Molly. So big show today. Oh, we're also AmeriChicks on Twitter and Facebook. And so check that out as well. And then our hashtag I Am a Movement Facebook page as well. That's, I think that's all the info, isn't it?
That's it.
Did I get through it? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Good. So it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. It's Follow the Money Day. And since it's Inverse Money Talk Radio, I think this is going to be one people are very interested in. You know, government seems to come together a lot with a solution to a problem to help a certain group of people, and they want us all to pay for it. And so what we need to make sure that we're doing is we're looking at that solution and saying, is there actually a problem that exists that government's trying to solve, or is the government trying to create a solution to a problem that's not here yet and get the taxpayers to pay for it without us really knowing what's going on?
I think the answer is B, but we'll find out,
We will. So we'll be talking about Stroh Ranch and
right
a new
here in
development.
Parker, Colorado. Yeah.
Right here, Parker, Colorado, and a new development they're putting together. And, you know, I used to think, Kimmy, about was it really the rich versus the poor, but I think it's really the political elite and connected versus everybody else.
I think you're right.
You know,
I'm with you. I used to think the same thing, but I think you're spot on.
And so it's not even right versus left. It's political elite versus everybody else. And so if you got your hand in the candy jar, you're pretty much going to vote for whatever it is that's going to make your bottom line better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's under the guise of telling people that we're going to help the poor. And so we'll get into that in detail starting in the second segment. We're going to have Joy Overbeck on. She's a resident of Stroh Ranch. She's also a freelance journalist with Town Hall, and she's written for Daily Caller, Washington Times, lots of groups. But she is really a good eyes on the process person.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of an eyes on the process and where's the money going show.
And Molly, I just want to define the political elite just a little bit more.
There you go.
I would say it's politicians. Now, there are elected leaders that are trying to do the right thing, that are trying to represent the people. But there are politicians that are in it for themselves. Bureaucrats, and these are unelected people, and could be staff, variety of things. And then your cronyists. And that would be businesses that are working to try to use government through public policy and public dollars to get their projects through and to actually make themselves rich.
Right. And those crony capitalist and business owners, I would say, I didn't really understand what they were doing before. Like,
then you met me.
It seems like people kept putting, oh, all business owners are bad, and lumping them in this big box. And I'm like, well, you know, my friend Susan Koshevar, who owns 88 Drive-In, that girl works just all the time, you know, every day into the morning. And she's constantly working. She works so hard to make it because government regulations really hurt her little business, mm-hmm. make it hard for her to do her work. But then the government gives money to like a competing movie theater or somebody to come in next to her. And then they're given like this extra
share bags
and these advantages that she's not given. So it's not all businesses are bad. It seems to be businesses that, the bigger they get, the more connected with the government they get, then they start to get these handouts. And it's just this cronyism. It's, you know, if the market likes what you bring to the table and people find it of value that they're willing to stand in line and actually give their hard-earned dollars for, then that's a good product. Supply and demand. You can make a lot of money, and I'm all for you making unlimited, uncapped amount of money, getting rich by providing something that other people want, like Apple. They're about to come out with a new phone. It's about to be $1,000 a phone, I think. I mean, that's all over the wire today. But if people are willing to pay it, good for them. Right? There's going to be other phone makers that compete that will do something cheaper, and that's probably what I'll end up buying.
And it'll probably bring the price down.
And it'll bring the prices down. Mm-hmm. So another thing as far as money right now I wanted to talk about, it's interesting that tonight the White House, Donald Trump, has invited to dinner three Republicans and three Democrats to talk about tax reform. So I'm curious to see how that works. Just going to name these guys for you. They're all senators. The Democrats are Senator Joe Manchin with West Virginia, Joe Donnelly, Indiana, Heidi Heitkamp, North Dakota. And then the Republicans are Senator Orrin Hatch, Utah, Pat Toomey, Pennsylvania, and John Thune, South Dakota. There are people, I think, probably on both sides of the aisle that are freaking out right now.
I think you're right.
That President Trump is not just sitting with the party that he ran under, the Republican Party. He's sitting with both sides because he wants to get something done. And Kim, I got to tell you, I like that.
I do too.
Get something done.
I think the idea that we've had on the Republican side, and we've talked about this before, that for 7 years, voting repeal and replace when it didn't matter. And then when it did matter, they should have had a plan on, you know, day one when Donald Trump was inaugurated and worked to get that thing through. And they haven't done anything. And so I think it's pretty creative. He's like, okay, you know, this is a new guy in town. We're going to come at it a little bit differently. And I think you're right. They're all freaking out.
Yeah. And so obviously what I really want to see, Kim, is tax simplification.
Yay.
I think that by simplifying it, that means that you and I and other regular non-politically elite folks, non-multi-billionaires that have all of these CPAs and attorneys working for us, that can figure out all the loopholes so that we don't pay as much taxes, that goes away. This levels the playing field so that everybody actually pays their fair share. And what it's going to do is it's also going to probably increase the revenue that the government gets to bring in anyways.
If everything's
because
growing.
Because it's not hidden. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is things will be growing because now people will be investing more money because they're not taxed as hard. It really unleashes innovation.
Mm-hmm. And all those accountants, you know, I've always, okay, so if you simplify taxes, what happens to all these accountants that have specialized in helping people, you know, file their taxes? Well, the answer is that they then, instead of trying to figure out how to understand all of the government components of it, they'll be working for companies that are growing their businesses. They're growing their payroll and doing that kind of business instead of this government stuff.
Yeah, they're not going to be out of business. They will redirect their focus on what business they're working on, and it will be a more growthful type of all tides rising type of a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I
good.
Like it.
So that's a good one. Another one, hey, Broncos won their home opener last night.
Did you stay up and watch
it? Against the LA Chargers. I watched almost all of it.
Like, oh my gosh, what was it, an 8:20 start?
It was, and they ended up 24-21. And apparently the Broncos have won 17 out of 18 home openers in a row. So that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. So I'm excited for a new year with the Broncos. I'm wearing my orange today.
Yes, you are.
As you can see.
Mm-hmm.
So go Broncos.
I can't believe it's football season, but it is.
I'm just going to keep telling you what's
on my
radar.
Keep going.
Okay. So another thing, obviously the Irma damage, Hurricane Irma. I had a lot of family and friends in Florida. I'm from Tampa Bay. And so the Key West, it looks like Keys have had, you know, FEMA said 90% of the homes in Key West have been damaged or destroyed. And I looked specifically at Isla Mirada today, and man, it is a mess. The storm surges were pretty crazy. You've got houses, trailers, TVs, you know, they showed American flags everywhere. I mean, that's going to be a huge rescue effort. They really got hit hard. And then also Jacksonville mm-hmm. right now in the north, the biggest city in Florida. It had a huge storm surge on the St. John's River under the Main Street Bridge. And so even right now, they're flooded. And so they're saying, you know, don't come back quite yet, right? Because they've even got white caps in the streets right now. So that's with the river. And then Charleston, the surge came from the Atlantic Ocean, and about 100 roads in the areas are shut down with flooding. And the electric company, the Florida Power and Light Company have restored power to 2.3 million customers, but at least 4.4 million are still without power as of today. And they're expecting by September 17th, some will be restored, and by September 22nd, even more. Now, Kim, you and I brought on the radio with us Frank Gaffney, who has talked a lot about EMPs, the electromagnetic pulse, and what happens if for some reason our electric grid is attacked and all of our electricity goes out. How many days or weeks can people live without power? And obviously the people that evacuated from Florida are probably okay. Mm-hmm. But if think about the people that buckled down and stayed. We still haven't heard about, you know, what's going on with these guys. And if they're stuck for a couple of weeks without power, how many people are going to survive?
Well, yeah, true. And then that's a good point, because an EMP, I mean, it would be out across the complete country. Mm-hmm. Your point's well taken. However, we do know there's rescue efforts going on, and that there is, you know, electricity on the outside. But, you know, obviously these people are without power, and it's over 1% of the population of the United States. I mean, the stuff is spoiling in their freezers. You know, if in fact, you know, somebody needs to have refrigerated medication, you would hope that they would have left. Mm-hmm. You know, people should have planned ahead on that. But if not, they're in a tough spot.
Yeah. Well, I had a lot of friends on Facebook last night. I saw that they're like, is anybody else driving around in their cars just to get air conditioning? Because it's so hot in Florida, especially, you know, in the summer. That's why I moved away. But it's also, it's just interesting to think, when you talk about the EMPs and the threats and what North Korea is doing now with their intercontinental missiles, with the ability to put a small nuclear warhead on there, talking about possibly coming after our electric grid, it's something to think about. Mm-hmm. Look at how hard it is for you to go a few days without electricity, and you might think it's time for us to strengthen up our grid. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, September 8th, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include Atomic Blonde, Stephen King's It, and Annabelle Creation. Admission is $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Please be sure to visit the delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to four toppings to choose from. Stay up to date on movie showings and times at 88drivein.net. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com, and that's where we are on Facebook and Twitter. And we are doing a Follow the Money show. And we have on the line with us Joy Overbeck. We've known Joy for a long time. She is a pretty impressive gal. She's a town hall columnist. She's written for the Daily Caller, the Washington Times, American Thinker, just to name a few. And she is really what I would call an investigative journalist in many ways. She's like, you know, like a dog on a bone trying to get the facts. And she's
like Nancy Drew, sleuth for truth.
Just like us. Yeah. So we have Joy Overbeck on the line with us. Hey, Joy, how are you doing? Joy?
Yeah.
There you are.
We missed
you. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Great. I'm doing great.
Great.
I thought you could hear me, but how are you guys doing?
We are we're good, and welcome. It's great to have you on the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. And Joy, you are digging into something that is really important, I think, to the everyday person. I'm not sure that the everyday citizen realizes it, but it is very important. So it's kind of the whole affordable housing component. So let's just jump in here. Tell us what you're doing.
Okay. Well, people who live in the South Metro, in the Lone Tree area, Castle Rock, Parker, and out here where I live in Stroh Ranch, actually, in Parker, have probably noticed the last year or two just these gigantic, monstrous apartment buildings going up. And some of them are low-income housing, and they come under the jurisdiction of HUD and the IRS. And what happens is these developers move in, and they buy a parcel of land, like they bought 11 acres here that was for sale, that's been for sale for decades. It was undeveloped rent land here in Stroh Ranch, which is a community called a premier community in Parker of about 1,400, you know, residences, single family homes that have been here, as I say, for 30 years with big mature trees and everything. And so a company called Dominion Development came in here, and they develop these low income housing projects all over the country. They've got like 20,000 units in something like 20 states. And so they know how to do this. This is what they do, is government-financed low-income housing. And basically what they do is they use government programs to pay for about anywhere between 50 and 60% of the cost, what it's going to cost them to build these 204 units that they want to put up here in Parker, in Stroh Ranch. This building, it's just like a cell block. It's ugly. It's just doesn't fit in our neighborhood. Doesn't fit with the Parker 2035 master plan, which promises to preserve traditional neighborhoods like Stroh Ranch. But they want to put it in here, and it is actually zoned multifamily. So we
okay. Now, Joy, let me jump in there, because what you're talking about is something that I think is really important for people to understand. Because I'm a property rights girl, I think Molly is, I think you are too. And if somebody has a piece of property and they want to develop it, and it's within the zoning, and they're taking the risk to do so.
Well, they're not taking the risk.
Well, that's my point. That's where I wanted to head to on that. If somebody is doing that as a personal investment, you know, it fits within the rules, I'm for that. I think that's good. But what I thought I heard you say here is for this particular development in Stroh Ranch, that through government programs, the government, which is you and I, are going to be paying for 50 to 60% of this apartment building. Is that correct?
Well, that's not quite right. I'll tell you, I'll just take a few sentences to explain it, okay? There are two components to the way the government finances these kinds of things. One of them is through, here locally, it's through something called DCHIP, the Douglas County Housing Partnership. And what they do is they get what's called bonding authority from Douglas County and from Parker. And the IRS and HUD give them what's called bonding authority. So then this organization, DCHIP, which is supposed to be a nonprofit, but they actually do make a little profit doing this, they go out. It's like a quasi-government agency.
Right.
Then people like Dominion apply to them. In this case, it's for over $20 million worth of bonding authority. So then DCHIP organizes a conglomerate of financiers from banks, you know, banks like, oh, they mentioned to me the Bank of Boston, First Bank, a Bank of the West, which, by the way, is owned by a French company, which I found out a while ago, and I had to take my account out of there, right? Anyway, these local banks and also, you know, national banks and probably global banks, they buy these bonds. And they sell the money, basically. They're mortgaging, basically, for Dominion Development at a much lower rate than Dominion would have to pay on the open market for what are essentially mortgage bonds.
Okay, so the point here that I think you're making, Joy Overbeck, who is a town hall columnist, is that in essence, this particular developer is able to get the capital for their development at significantly lower rates than what the regular person or the regular developer who's, you know, out in the free market would have to do so. So that's number one. They're getting a benefit there, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then their second source of funding for this project and for all their projects is something called LGITF or something like that. It's what is this low-income tax credit funding. And that comes through another local organization, a statewide organization called CHAFA, the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. And Dominium has asked them for $2.2 million in these low-income tax credit. Well, they're tax credits. Essentially, they give Dominium this money, and they're able to sell this, but Dominium does this apparently, on the open market. So for every dollar of tax credit, again, they sell to corporations who want to reduce their taxes, just like we, you know, we use or we have things we can write off our taxes. It's like a tax write-off for these large corporations or banks or financial institutions. For every dollar worth of tax credit that Dominium gets from CHAFA, okay, they can sell on the open market, just like a stock exchange kind of of a thing, for $1.25. Now that was the price a while ago. Now it's apparently it's dropped. So there they were making 20%, and they're making a little less than that now.
So so just a question on that then, Joy Overbeck. So on these tax credits, does Dominion have to buy that? Or is that tax credit given to them? I'm not clear on
them. They apply to CHAFA, which is a Colorado, as I say, it's a Colorado entity, and each state has its own similar entity. They send a letter of intent, and ask them, basically request this money, and they request as much as they want. And they have a board at CHAFA, which includes some of our legislators and some people who are just kind of freelance people in the housing business. Who have different connections to the housing business. And that board decides whether or not to approve giving them whatever tax credits they want.
So is that like giving them $2.2 million?
It's just like that. It is. It's not just like that. It is that.
Wow.
They give them $2.2. And the other thing is that I've talked to some people at CHAFA, of course, and researching all this. And see, this process started. Dominium filed their plat with the town of Parker back in January. And so this has been going on for, nearly 9 months now. So they originally set this all up, because this is what they do across the country. That is Dominion, the low-income housing developer. And what they do is they send these letters of intent out to, like, CHAFA. And this first letter is now expired. I don't know if it's a 3-month or 6-month or whatever. Now they need to send another letter of intent out to CHAFA. And then the board either approves or disapproves. They haven't even closed on this land yet, because they're not sure if the town is going to approve their scheme, because the way it's platted now, they'll have 204 apartment units in 8 buildings on 11 acres of land. 96 of them are 2-bedroom, and 96 of them are 3-bedroom. This is going to be an influx. Only 12 of them are 1-bedroom. This is going to be an influx of people in this peaceful suburban community with kids on skateboards and on bikes everywhere, families, of at least 500, probably more like 600 or more people on 11 acres.
So how many parking spots for this, Joy?
400 parking spots.
So let's just think about it. Let's think if you've got a couple millennials that are doing a 2-bedroom or a 3-bedroom, 3 millennials. That's going to be well over probably 400, 500, 600 cars. There's only 400 spots. And then also people come over and visit. And we are seeing this throughout the metro area, which is astonishing.
Yes.
So anyway, go ahead.
Throughout the suburbs here. This is what they're doing is the government has decided to urbanize the suburbs, essentially. Like, if we wanted to live in the city in a high-rise building or next to, hundreds of people on 11 acres and, hundreds of cars.
You could choose to do so.
We would move to Denver if we wanted to do that. But we live, people live out here have property rights, too, I think. because they've lived out here for decades and they've raised their children out here, and they, and many of them have chosen to move out of the city into a more peaceful suburban community like this. And the other thing is that this property is right across the street from our rec center, where there are tennis courts, there's a big playground where moms take toddlers, there's a swimming pool and a basketball court, and kids are back and forth along the same road. I forgot to tell you about the traffic study. That their own traffic study, Dominion's own traffic study, predicts 1,356 new car trips every single day.
Wow.
So, Joy Overbeck, real quick, you said they're trying to urbanize the suburbs, and they're going to bring 500 to 600 people in with this affordable housing, government-subsidized big apartment complex. But is there demand for that now?
Well, the problem is, there are hundreds of units that are also low-income housing. By the way, they charge 60% of the market rate, which we don't know yet what they're going to come up with for a number for that. And then there are income caps, too. And, of course, the fact of whether or not there's demand, these low-income housing outfits always try to say, oh, we want to build housing for your teachers and your firefighters. Well, anybody who does a little research on what teachers are paid in Douglas County will quickly see that there's no way in the world that these teachers are paid much too much money to qualify for this low-income housing development. For instance, a two-person family, if you look at they've also come out with caps, income caps. That's what the government does. They come out with eligibility caps. And if your salary or your income of your household is above these caps, then you can't live there, right?
So this is an assault on the middle class.
Well, really. It is really because firefighters, in fact, they say, oh, firefighters can live here, our firefighters. Well, the firefighters' starting salary here in Douglas County with the South Metro Fire and Rescue is our firefighting operation here in Douglas County. And it also supplies, firefighters to Lone Tree, to Castle Rock, to all these outlying areas, all these towns. Their starting salary for a 21-year-old just out of high school, a high school diploma, his starting salary, or hers, is $56,421. Okay.
And well, the cap is around $36,000 or something, isn't it, to qualify?
No, for one person, say this person gets a one of these 12 one bedrooms. That cap is
$29,000.
Okay. Okay, we got to go to break, Joy. So hang on, stick with us, and we'll be right back. We're talking about following the money and subsidizing housing at your risk.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whiddon, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
One newspaper recently identified 24 different everyday tasks for which Americans are required to show a photo ID. We're so accustomed to showing our driver's licenses that it seems routine, not just for driving, but also for opening a bank account, renting a car or a hotel room, boarding a plane, buying a cell phone, filling a prescription, or even buying a movie. Yet we allow people to vote without any identification, no proof of citizenship or eligibility at all. If we looked through the lens of liberty, surely we would realize that our nation's future is more important than our ability to buy Sudafed. Shouldn't we guard our right to vote at least as carefully as we guard the sale of light beer?
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Joy is digging into what's going on with the new development that's in the works in Parker down in Stroh Ranch. Joy is a resident in Stroh Ranch. She's also a freelance journalist with Town Hall. She's written in Daily Caller, Washington Times, American Thinker. She really is keeping her eyes on the process at the local level at what government's doing, and we appreciate it. And before we went to break, we were talking about this Dominium development, and they are looking to put a 204-unit apartment complex that's affordable housing, basically, which is taxpayer-subsidized, right there in their area in Stroh Ranch. And one of the reasons that Dominium is saying that this development is so important that the taxpayers pay for it is that their local teachers and firefighters and police can't afford to live in this area. And
I've heard that many times.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that'll get your heart. Okay, yes, we got to do it. We got to help our teachers and firefighters because we want them here. But what Joy Overbeck said before we went to break is that that's not technically true. It's actually completely dishonest. She was giving us the dollar amount of the median income of the teachers coming in.
It looks or like starting salary.
Starting salary, $46,345. I think you said
no,
firefighters.
I'm sorry, that's the average.
It is the average? Okay.
Is it?
Yeah.
And then the firefighters, yeah. $56,421.
400 or so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 421.
Okay, and so compare those salaries to what is the income cap for people moving into this new complex?
Yeah, as I say, there are 96 two-bedrooms and 96 three-bedrooms and only 12 one-bedrooms. So we're really looking at, they don't break it down, HUD, and HUD doesn't break it down into bedrooms, but they break it down into how many people are in the family. So, for instance, the average Douglas County teacher makes $46,345. They're making too much money at that salary to qualify for low-income housing unless they have a five-person family, because the five-person income cap is $45,350. So they just make it under that cap. You've got to be under the cap, obviously. That's wrong. Because that's $5 over. So then they have to go to a six person. They have to have a six-person family to qualify. And if they have a six-person family, one could probably assume that they probably have a spouse who is working too. So if you add the spouse's income, that would put them above the income cap, and they still wouldn't be able to live there. And so that leads us to talking about how low-income projects like this actually discourage people from working so they can live in these low-income housing projects. I have a friend who was getting her haircut the other day, and her haircutter woman said, I've got myself on the list at Hilltop. Hilltop is right across Parker Road from Stroh Ranch, basically, up the hill, obviously, and it's been there for years and years. It's a real pretty housing complex, and a certain percentage of it is low-income. There are a little over 300 units there that are low income, and the rest are market income. But it's a very attractive complex. And so this woman was going to try to live there, but she can't. She's worried because she can just barely qualify now. So she was telling my friend, if I make any more money, I'm not going to be able to qualify to go low income.
So that incentivizes people to do better, to work longer, to work harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, again, I submit to you that this is an assault on the middle class, where people work harder to become upwardly mobile.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an assault on our American values, too. If we want our values of hard work, achievement, and the American dream to survive, these kinds of disincentives, as you say, this incentive to basically not work, is not helping. It's not helping. And I think it's damaging to the American character, too. What it does is it just exacerbates that whole victim mentality that the liberals and the leftists always try to perpetrate, you know, about poor people.
And Joy Overbeck, also, if the rent for this new Dominium housing in Stroh Ranch in Parker, Colorado, that's subsidized by us and by different government entities, are the rates for this housing going to be lower than other kind of median market rental properties in the area? Like, will they be competing with other property owners who are trying to rent their houses out?
Exactly. It's as I say, apartments, and they're 60% of and they haven't come out with rents yet because they just haven't calculated that yet. They, meaning HUD, and I think it's mostly HUD that calculates. Yeah, it's HUD that calculates the rents. But they'll only be 60% of the average rent for that similar type property, you know, apartment in the area. So for sure, they're competing against private developers who have other apartments to rent and condominiums to sell. And that's the other thing that we should probably talk about is why this giant proliferation all of a sudden of apartments when people used to be able, if they were young, married and just starting their family, or if they were older people who were selling their primary residence that they'd lived in for decades and wanted to downsize because their kids are grown and gone, usually those people would buy a nice condo, like the ones at Ironstone, which are right next door to this property. Then this property, this 11-acre property, was once part of Ironstone. Ironstone's been there for about as long as Stroh Ranch has, about 30 years. And they're beautiful apartments. Lots of stone and big balconies, and people take care of them, and they, you know, hang out.
Are those apartments or are those condos now, Joy?
They're condos now since 2004. They started out as apartments. Anyway, my point is that because of something that's just been very, very harmful for Colorado's economy and for these young people and older people I was just describing, about 8 years ago, the Democratic State House, you know, both houses of our State House in Colorado were Democratic, and they passed this law called the Construction Defects Law. And what it did is it forced condo developers out of business because it allows attorneys to come in, and if there's a condominium complex and they find one thing wrong in one of the condos, then it's assumed by this law that the same thing, say you've got a leaky pipe somewhere or something, the developer can't just go in there and fix it. What happens is an attorney, and this is happening all over the metro, all over the state, attorneys will go into the HOA and say, hey, we can, under this law, we can sue the developer for millions of dollars, and you don't have a cent at risk because the law firm will take half of it, and you'll make half the other half. Okay, you can make millions of dollars and put it in a stash for your homeowners association. And lots of these homeowners associations have said yes to that scheme.
And a lot of the people in those condo developments didn't know that the homeowners association was doing that.
Yeah.
And so once that was put on there, it made it very difficult for those condo owners to even sell their condos.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why so what happened was insurers would not insure the developers or the subcontractors, you know, the plumbers and the drywallers and everything. In order for them to be able to build any more condominiums. That's why this horrendous proliferation of apartments everywhere, these huge apartment blocks, because our legislature really, really dropped the ball on this thing and passed this impossible law. And I don't know, they just tweaked it with another law. Now the condo, they've been trying to correct this, but of course, the Democrats own the State House, basically, and the Republicans just have one more senator in the Senate. So they have a very, very slim majority, just one senator. And so they can't pass anything that really corrects this law so that they can start building condos again. And they did pass something this last session, but it just tweaks it a little bit. Now the entire population of the subdivision or the condo project has to vote whether or not to sue the developer instead of just the board. Before it was just the board. But that, I don't think that's really going to make a big difference. We're not going to see a giant, you know.
But Joy, to your point, what is happening here is I want people to understand that it used to be that our young people were able to get their foot in the door on home ownership with a condominium.
Right.
And instead of instead of every month just paying rent that they'll never see anything from, like you say, they were building equity. It was a way for them to start to create wealth. Then they could sell that condo, use the equity that they gained, and buy a house.
Right.
Now, every month, that rent just goes to the apartment owner, and our young people are being taxed up the kazoo. I mean, they're paying these high apartment rents. I mean, it is really difficult for our kids. I really think that we are doing them a big disservice.
You know, it's so amazing. If we could only get the word out to millennials and to people a little older, people in their 20s and 30s about this. So many of these young people say, what do I care about government? Government doesn't affect me. If they understood, you know, hey, you might not care about government, but government cares about you.
Amen to that, sister. And that's a tough one, a tough pill to follow. It was a tough pill for me to follow. Hang on, Joy Overman. Stick with us. We're the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We're going to break. When we come back, we're talking about Dominion Development in Parker at Stroh Ranch and what happens when the government says they're doing it for the people, but they're hurting the people.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com. Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks. Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. All kinds of great information there. All of these shows are on our archive there on SoundCloud. So you can always go back and listen to these great shows. We guarantee that you will be educated and that you will be inspired and that you will go out and engage in what's going on out there. But Molly, just very quickly, I am so excited about EvanYourITGuy.com. Evan Your IT Guy is a network of IT professionals, and they're going to be going live probably next week. They're entrepreneurs. We love entrepreneurs, and it's a brand new company. And so they're professionals. They're going to be ready to provide on-demand help with all of your computer needs. And so go to EvanYourITGuy.com and go ahead and sign up. And they're really focusing on two things that we love. First of all is small businesses. Small businesses typically, you know, don't have a budget for an IT guy.
Team.
Yeah, a technology team. And then secondly, Evan, your IT guy is hiring veterans. And a lot of veterans have IT experience with what they've done in the military. And so check out EvanYourITGuy.com. We heartily, you know, recommend them, and we're excited. They're going to be going live next week. And if you go on, you can actually sign up for the free webcam cover. So go to EvanYourITGuy.com.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so before we went to break, Joy Overbeck made a comment that, you know, about how kind of, you know, politics, oh, and politicians, and oh my goodness, all the different policies that they pass and over and over saying they're trying to help people, they really hurt people. And, you know, a lot of people are turned off by politics because of what politicians do. And it's just like, it's so hard to dig down and find out what are the real effects. They say they want to help the people. They say they want to help lower income, but in fact, it's not going to help the people they say they want to help. So we're talking about the Dominium development in Parker and Stroh Ranch. That is, it's not, they haven't purchased the land yet. It's not 100% to be done. And that's why it's so important to talk about this right now with Joy is to get people to start understanding what's happening. And if they live in that area, get down there and start attending some meetings. And but really, Joy, I mean, the points that you've made before we went to break in the last couple segments, they say that this is affordable housing is a need for teachers, firefighters, and police. But you made the point that given the income caps that they've put on these houses that they're looking to build, or these apartment complexes they're looking to build, teachers, firefighters, and policemen would actually have to be single families, single parent families with several kids even to qualify. So it's not really probably going to help the majority of those people. Then it's also going to compete with other property owners around the neighborhood, whether they're houses that they're trying to rent or, you know, private property apartment complex owners and condos and groups like that. And why should we have the government subsidizing something that isn't needed and isn't helping the people it's trying to help?
Yeah, and I was going to talk a little bit more about the teacher aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Douglas County School District teachers, 90% of them, okay, whether they're one person in the family or two or three or four or five or six person in the family, they make too much money to qualify to live in this low-income housing complex. Because, 90% of preschool teachers, and there are only 23 preschool teachers in the district, 90% of them make above $42,000. And as I said, the cap for a single person is $29,400. And so if they can't get, you know, an apartment there. And then 90% of, say, high school teachers, and there are three or four different steps, okay, depending on if you're middle school, high school, kindergarten, whatever. But 90% of high school teachers in Douglas County make over $73,000. The cap is for that income, well, there's no way they can, even if they had eight children, okay, and no spouse, because it only goes up to eight people, actually seven children and no spouse, if they make $70,000, $73,000, which 90% of Douglas County high school teachers do, they can't qualify.
So, Joy,
the eight-person family, because the cap there is $55,000.
Joy, to your point, and when I sat on City Council in Lone Tree, when these presentations were made regarding Douglas County Housing Partnership, that was one of the things that they said, that this is for our teachers and this is for our firefighters and our police officers. And I think what you've said is you've really debunked that. Now, we had somebody text a question here for you, which is a very important question. Robert asks, who has the oversight over the Douglas County Housing Partnership?
Well, it's interesting. They have a board of, I forget if it's 8 or 10 people, and they're mostly elected council members from the entities that they that then contribute the bonding authority. In other words, Lone Tree, Castle Rock, Parker, and each of those, and it, you know, those towns has, say, two different, and they're council members. They're literally council members in these towns who decide. Who to give that money to.
Right. It can be council members. It can also be, which what I saw in Lone Tree was that the mayor and would basically, they would appoint maybe a community person as well. Now, the other thing that I think people need to understand is each of these entities, these municipalities, contribute money towards the budget for the Douglas County Housing Partnership, for the staff and all. So this is being paid for by public dollars.
I talked to one of the top functionaries at the Douglas County Housing Partnership, and he told me that they're basically self-funding now. They only have a handful of employees there because they're mainly a conduit. You know, they just look at these applications and they say yes or no. But the board is the board, as you say, you know, some of the entities, some of, like, I don't know, if Lone Tree has a council person on, I know Parker does, one of the town council people, is actually sits on the board of the DCHIP, which I think is really wrong, really wrong. I think they should be community members, because the town council is all involved in stuff like, this complex is going to mean a lot of tax dollars for the town. You see?
But
it's kind of
yeah.
a conflict of interest.
But it's not, you know, they say that, but it's not, because I've gone through a low-income housing project that is just on the east side of I-25 near County Line, and I'd asked them, do you pay property taxes? And the answer was, no, we don't, because we can't make it work financially if we have to pay taxes. So I think each of them are unique.
Yeah,
you know?
I think you're right. Actually, they do get, come to think of it, they do get their taxes reimbursed. By the government of whatever town they're in. Yeah. I think that's part of the, I don't know if the IRS pays their taxes then. In other words, the developer doesn't pay the taxes. That's another
right.
big break. You're right.
Yeah.
That's another big break the developer gets.
Joy Overbeck, I have to jump in here because this is such important information and you have done such great work on this. Joy Overbeck, who is a columnist with Town Hall, how can and also you've written for Daily Caller, Washington Times, American Thinker. We're about out of time, so before we do that, how can people find your columns?
Well, you can find about over 2 years of my columns. About 2 years ago, I started putting my Town Hall columns mostly on my Facebook page, which if you just Google Joy Overbeck columnist, it's Overbeck. You can get to my Facebook page. And you can, you know, just scroll down and read whatever interests you on that page. And, or just friend me on Facebook at Joy Overbeck.
So now, Joy, you are really watching this closely. And I bet there's people that would like to, you know, interact and find out what's going on. And so would it be best to do that through your Facebook page?
Yeah, probably, yeah. If people want to do that, that'd be fine. I have basically an open Facebook page.
Great.
So
you can
just post comments.
And then what's the next step, Joy? What's next, and what do you want people to do?
Well, you know, we put out this this kind of summary that we call the update of what's going on, a lot of which I've described here, and a lot of which I didn't get a chance to describe, like what a shoddy builder Dominium is out there, all these complaints from their tenants all over the Internet. And we're asking people to email the town and to email the Planning Commission, which will make a decision on this in Parker. And all you got to do is go to the Town of Parker website, which is parkeronline.com. And to the Planning Commission, you can email the whole 10-member Planning Commission at planning@parkeronline.org. I'm sorry, it's .org. Yeah. And you can email the Town Council at council@parkeronline.org. And so those are the things that we're asking people to do until this whole process is over. And the Planning Commission schedules a public hearing. So they schedule these public hearings. It'll probably be in the next few weeks. And then we're asking people to show up and testify. I've testified at school board hearings and Douglas County Commissioner hearings, and you have 3 minutes. And so you want to really hone your message and make sure, you know, whether it's traffic and congestion and danger for our kids, or whether this is, you know, the builder is just a terrible builder and also has a lot of lawsuits against them, the federal lawsuits, which they settle out of court, of course. And it does not have a good history as a developer. We don't think that Parker should be partnering with this kind of company. They're just not a good company, a high-quality company. And also, of course, this development completely violates the Parker master plan.
Okay. So we're talking with Joy Overbeck, and basically we're talking about a Dominium development that is looking to build low-income housing in Stroh Ranch out in Parker, Colorado, but it's going to bring about 500 to 600 people and only 400 parking spaces to the area. It's going to be a lot of extra car congestion. It's going to be paid for basically using a mixture of different types of tax credits and little swindles of government funds here and there and bonds and things like that. But the developer is not paying for this 100% out of their pocket like most private companies should be doing.
Right.
And it's saying that it's going to help teachers and firefighters and policemen, but actually that is not correct. With the caps that they've put on the income level here, it's going to be people that aren't doing those types of jobs in the area. And it's going to be interesting to see what it brings in. Mm-hmm.
Joy Overbeck, thank you so much. She is a town hall columnist and has written for a lot of different periodicals. And we greatly appreciate your hard work on this. So thanks, Joy.
Thanks, Joy.
Thank you, ladies. My pleasure.
Okay. Boy, Molly, that went quickly. There is a whole lot going on this, so we're going to continue to have our eyes on the process on that. Thomas Jefferson in 1802 said something. He said, if we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them, then the people must become happy. So what that means is if government comes in and says, we're going to take care of you by taking the labors of what you're doing, and we prevent them from doing that, if people get to keep most of the fruits of their labor, the people will be happy.
Yeah, the most feared line ever is, I'm with the government, I'm here to help.
You got it.
Don't believe it. You can do it better yourself. Just get out there and try. You are good enough. You are smart enough. By golly, and people like you. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT. We're here every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. We'll see you tomorrow.